Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This is G.R. Mobley. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. If you go to MobiusStripPress.com, you can find out how you can download these podcasts and find our support documents and links. The concept, Reclaiming the Republic, that I came up with this concept for this show, Reclaiming the Republic, really spawned out of my two books. I've written three books. The first two have been published. The third I'm holding on to. The first book covers four basic books, and the second book is really the fifth book. I call them sections in my writing, and I've broken it down. In the first section, I cover a historical narrative of liberty. And in this, I basically tie this concept of a civil war of ideologies going all the way back to the war in heaven. And we see this civil war of ideologies taking place since Adam and Eve and so forth. Every society always struggles with these concepts of subjugation or individual liberty. And actually, I tie in individual liberty and individual sovereignty, because in subjugation, one loses not only your liberty, but your sovereignty, because whoever the subjugator is or the enslaver is, they dictate what you will do, and they have the ultimate say over every facet of your life. So in other words, one can, you know, boil it down to slavery and liberty. But I think it's very important that we include individual sovereignty, because I've yet to meet a person, whether they're progressive or whether they're conservative, that they like to have the final say over what they do. And very rarely will they be quick to say, well, I want to be a subject to the state. They'd like to theoretically say, well, the state ought to make those decisions, but quickly, when it comes to their advantage or things that they garner important to them, they want to have the final say over those things. And once we begin to lose our sovereignty and our liberties, John Adams claims that there is no way we can gain them back other than by revolution. And I, you know, many people have heard his quote. And Franklin and many of the framers, not founders, the founders are states, the framers were those who helped pave the way and contributed to our evolution of this society to come to the greatest republic ever created. But anyway, if you read through what the framers had said, they believed that the only way we would be able to restore our liberties and sovereignty would be through revolution. We'd have to fight for them back. I believe, and all the framers also affirmed, that the Lord definitely inspired them and granted them the insights in writing this document. And that's why I quickly will make the assertion that the Constitution is scripture for the governance of mankind, not the salvation of mankind. We need to go to the Holy Scriptures for that. But for the governance of mankind, the Lord inspired these great men with his insights so that they could create a form of government that had the process to heal itself. And this is the miracle, my friends, that we do not have to fight a revolt to regain our liberties. All we have to do is get those who have the authority and power over this delegated, over this general government, over this inferior entity we call the federal government, who they believe and have asserted for two centuries that they're superior in all things. I clearly point out that they're not. They're only superior in those things delegated to them. They're not superior in energy, agriculture, and all those things, because those things were not constitutionally delegated. They've just assumed them and usurped them. And because it's a contract, the insights of the framers and the Lord in allowing this to become a contract, we've basically have handed to us a self-healing process where the states can step in and save the day without having to fire a shot or without having to lift a finger in a revolt and shed any blood. Anyway, in the historical narrative, I also point out, you know, how Christianity and the evolution of Christianity into the Enlightenment and so forth basically paved the way for the founding of this nation. And I can show you all sorts of things regarding liberty, and I challenge most people's paradigms regarding evolution, the theory of the secular progressives, and the concept of education, and so forth, and the anthropology, the sciences that have been rammed down our throats. Through this very first section, I challenge those things, and I identify as well opposing forces to liberty, that being communism, Islam, and those types of things that are seeking to subjugate mankind. And right out from underneath our nose, there's all sorts of pernicious people with machinations or evil designs to undermine our Constitution and get us to abandon it. And so that's why it's really imperative that I spoke about this historical narrative on liberty. The second section in my book is regarding the innovation of this new nation and what the framers really did. And I go through the different forms of government and how they, you know, why did they create a bicameral Congress and how that Connecticut Compromise was so critical. In this second section, I clearly lay out what was delivered by our framers and what was accepted by the states or the founders. The third section is the obfuscation of the Constitution. Who done it and why? And I believe that a lot of the people that did some of the obfuscation did it with noble intent. I think that John Marshall and Alexander Hamilton and some of the things that they were pushing us unconstitutionally towards were maybe noble in their eyes, but was a violation of what was accepted and what was ratified by the states. The fourth section in the first book is the constitutional fix. And in that, I call it an Article 5 convention, but I'm incorrect in saying that. So in the second book, which is the fifth section, at the very beginning, I clarify that I'm talking about trying to follow the Article 5 process and holding the Article 5 process as the standard or the litmus test on any of the powers that are being exercised by the federal government. And what I mean by that is, if the federal government is exercising a power, did they follow the Article 5 process and send out to the states for ratification the ability to take on a new role, responsibility, or power? Those powers being the Department of Justice, those powers being the Department of Agriculture, Labor, Commerce, Transportation. I mean, I had that whole list that I've gone through before, and I just don't have it in front of me. But all of these departments that have been created, energy, education, health and human services, HUD, and Homeland Security, FBI, all of these types of powers that the federal government has assumed, there's not one amendment to the Constitution that's granting them these powers. And so the constitutional fix is strictly the simplicity of the contract itself, and it's to audit it, to convene a convention or to convene the body of states to audit the Constitution. So if you get my first book, you will read all the minute details to this and why academically we can do this. In my second book, I get into how many people it will take and in conducting to move this nation into conducting republic review. The second book is really, and I had no plan in writing it, but it became the obvious next book because everybody kept on asking me, well, how are we going to do this? How do you do this? And so I actually sat down and wrote out the strategy of how to do this because I had it in my mind. And in this process, we don't need to get thousands and the majority of the state all on board, what we need to get is our representatives to recognize their responsibility and replace them with those who have a profound understanding of the Constitution and what is at play here. Our legislatures, we can replace every 2 years in the state house. And so if we're not happy with their inability to protect us from federal tyranny, then we need to replace them and get somebody to stand up as a constitutionalist and get them in there so that they can pursue and start pushing for this audit. This won't take long, folks. And as a matter of fact, in my second book, I even mention, and I still stand by this, I look at all the different conservative entertainers who have such a great reach. The one guy that has the power of doing this is the guy that controls a body of media, the news and so forth, and has, I believe, the apparatus of doing this. And I say it in my book, if Glenn Beck, you know, could garner this concept of Republic Review and the application of holding the federal government to the constraints of the Constitution and that Article 5 process and how they violated it, we can easily get this movement towards the Republic Review auditing the Constitution on track within months. Well, I'm hearing something in my ears, and that means that I've got to take a break. So let me take this quick break, and I'll be right back. Thank you. So, thank you to the sponsors, and thank you to listening and commenting, and I hope you get all of your like-minded friends on board with reclaiming the Republic. Before I really go forward and talk about how to do this and how many people we need and some of the details that I cover in my second book, what I want to do is cover the concept of Republic Review and where does this really come from. And I've mentioned that this is based upon the concept of nullification. Just keep in mind, folks, that nullification in the classical concept was a state's capability. However, if you read the writings of Madison and Jefferson in the Kentucky Resolutions, they're not talking about just the state simply being a arbitrary focus of their power. They were looking at the Republic, and they were being the leaders and the examples or exemplars of the constitutionality of these laws that were passed by the federal government, the Sedition Act. And if one understands what Madison and Jefferson were doing, they were making the constitutional appeal to all the states to basically nullify. And then I believe what would have ended up happening was they would have coalesced as a body to create a single resolution that would not just nullify, but admonish the federal government, saying you're stepping well beyond the boundaries of the Constitution, because Madison talks about this in Federalist Paper number 49. And I've mentioned this, and I have not read that entire Federalist Paper because it's an amazing Federalist Paper on the power of administrative conventions. He's not talking about anywhere in dealing with the amendment process or rewriting or even tampering with the Constitution. He is talking about dealing with encroachments and putting encroachments into their place by, you know, basically nullifying them and getting them out of government, because the Constitution must be complied to. And Madison was the best president in trying to comply to the Constitution in every aspect. Anyway, so let me delve into the Kentucky Resolution of 1798. And again, this was written by Thomas Jefferson and the Kentucky state legislatures. Resolved that the several states composing the United States of America are not united on the principle of unlimited submission to their general government, but that by a compact under the style and title of a Constitution for the United States and of amendments thereto, they constituted a general government for special purposes. I've been telling you this, folks. Anyway, delegated to that government certain definite powers, reserving each state to itself the residuary mass of right to their own self-government, and that whensoever the general government assumes undelegated powers, it acts are unauthoritative, void, and of no force. That to this compact, each state acceded as a state and is an integral part, its co-states forming as to itself the other party, that the government created by this compact was not made the exclusive or final judge of the extent of the powers delegated to itself, since that would have made it its discretion and not the Constitution the measure of its powers, but that as in all other cases of compacting among powers having no common judge, each party has an equal right to judge for itself as well of infractions as of the mode and measure of redress. So even though Jefferson is saying here that each party has the ability collectively, the Republic has even a greater power to step forward and say, we did not delegate this power to you. We did not give you and grant you this power of the Department of Interior in 1849. You failed to follow the Article 5 process in assuming this power. Therefore, for well over the century and a half that this power has been exercised, it is and will always be a violation of the Constitution. If you choose to seek this power, you have all rights empowered to you by following the Article 5 process to request a constitutional convention or an amendment to the Constitution per Article 5. Unless you do that, and unless you ask for an Article 5 convention or a constitutional convention or a amendment to the Constitution, you cannot assume these powers. And the only way you can assume these powers is per the appropriated vote of 75% or 3/4 of the states have to agree. That's 38 states, folks. It requires 38 states to grant a new power, role, or responsibility to the federal government. So how many states does it take to deny the federal government any new role, responsibility, or power? And this is the beautiful number, folks. It's 13. 13 states have the power to revoke any unconstitutional government. So in Republic review and in the auditing process, if there are 13 states willing to step forward, and I can tell you now that with Obamacare and with a lot of the tyranny that has been coming forth from the federal government, you will probably get 20, 30 some states that'll step forward and say, we're not granting you this power. We never did grant you this power. You can cease and desist. And I think reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. I think most of those who will be involved in this process will take the reasonable road. And I really believe that we will come close to a unanimous decision as the states that we didn't grant this power, because as soon as they allow the federal government full power and full control over everything, it would be the demise of the Republic and of the states. And I truly believe that state legislatures are creatures of self-preservation, just like any other politician is a creature of self-preservation. And they could easily find themselves out of a job and the states not being effectual anymore within this oligarchy and monopoly of power by the federal government if they're willing to go down that road and grant that. And so it just hurts my head to see how, you know, any state and any government within this republic would want to grant that kind of power to the federal government. Let me get into the Virginia Resolution of 1798. This is Madison and Virginia state legislatures. Resolved that the General Assembly of Virginia doth unequivocally express a firm resolution to maintain and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state against any aggression, either foreign or domestic, and that they will support the government of the United States in all measures warranted by the former, the Constitution. That this assembly most solemnly declares a warm attachment to the unions of the states to maintain which it pledges all its powers, and that to this end it is their duty to watch over and oppose every infraction of those principles which constitute the only basis of that union, because a faithful observance of them can alone secure its existence and the public happiness, that this assembly doth expressly and peremptorily declare that it views the powers of the federal government as resulting from the compact to which the states are parties as limited by the plain sense and intention of the instrument constituting the compact, as no further valid that they are authorized by the grants enumerated in that compact, and that in case of deliberate, palpable, and dangerous exercises of other powers not granted by the said compact, the states who are parties thereto have the right and are in duty bound to interpose for arresting the progress of evil and for the maintaining within their respective limits the authorities, rights, and liberties appertaining to them. What I just said was a mouthful from Madison and both Jefferson, and that's only the very front end of these resolutions, folks. I ask you to go back and read these things. I want you to understand that the states can and should and are duty bound to interpose, as Madison says. They're supposed to step in whenever these violations are occurring. So guess what? For well over 150 years, the states have been sleeping at the wheel because the federal government has lulled us into believing that they do have all of these powers. And now that we have access to all of these documents that weren't accessible when the founding of the state occurred back in 1889, they didn't provide us with all the ratification debates. They didn't provide us with all these founding documents, and the internet wasn't available. So for states coming into the Union, they didn't really grasp on what their responsibilities were, and they just believed in all this soothsaying coming from these pernicious politicians, judges, lawyers, and so forth. And so I'm running out of time for this show, and I'm seeing this on the clock, and I believe I'm going to be hearing music in my ear soon. I will get back into the strategy for convening a convention for republic review, or basically auditing the Constitution from the state legislatures by doing this online. I'll get into more of those details in the forthcoming shows. But I just want you to know that Madison and Jefferson and our Savior, with the insights he gave to the framers, made it possible that we could step in at any time and pull this Constitution from the shredder and make it whole, just that simple. We have the power, we have the authority, and I'm academically making this argument in Reclaiming the Republic here on this show. Hope you share this with others. Hope you continue to listen. And I hope that we can actually do what we need to do. It's our sacred obligation to save what I consider Scripture, our Constitution. Thank you very much. God bless.